Well, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. I think we're in morning time in Australia, so I'm also on holiday as well, so I'm just relaxed, gonna go for a run later. Yeah, it's good.
Nice. That's really nice. I'm really excited to have an opportunity to connect with you, and I know that you've already shared a lot of your story, but I think there's probably so much more to it. So I'd love to get a little bit more of the story about your journey that led you to running.
It's kind of, to be honest, my running journey hasn't really been, so linear. I was not a super into running when I was in high school. I mean, the only reason why I joined the cross country team, when I was around my teens, was because it was the only sport I was good at. I couldn't do basketball, I couldn't do netball, but running, I mean, anyone can run, right? But I could run longer distances, so I mean that's what I did. So I did that in high school, but it never really stuck, and I just stopped doing it after a while. Actually, the pinnacle of my high school years was I was in a state cross country race, and it was an 8 kilometer race, so not super long, and I DNF'd that one, and I didn't even finish, and it was such a kind of shocking moment for me that I actually failed something like that. So that was kind of the starting point. But what really got me into running was actually having depression. So the reason why I had depression is a lot to do with the fact that I had a bit of a kind of tough upbringing. My parents divorced when I was in high school, but it was just a very chaotic time for me. There was a lot of arguing, a lot of drinking going on, and it's very traumatic to go through, especially when you're 12, 13 years old. And so I started to develop depression years later after that, and I just couldn't get myself out of the depression. Like it was like I was being sucked into this, deep, dark hole. And when you're going through something like that, people just start to pull away. People don't understand what you're going through. And for some reason, out of nowhere, one of my friends asked me, "Oh, well, do you want to run this 15-kilometer race for me? It's called the City to See in Melbourne," which is where I was based at the time. And I said, "Oh, okay, why not?" And so I figured, like, you need to train for it. So I started running, and every time I ran, it was like I just felt so much better. Like I felt like I was alive, which I hadn't felt in such a long time because I was in such a dark place. So, and I guess that's how I started running. I just kept going, and it just felt better. So yeah, started.
Yeah, I love to hear that. Especially because I think that there's still so much misunderstanding and stigma around depression. And like you said, that's a big reason why people kind of started to pull away, probably because they didn't really understand what you were going through. So it's great that running has been able to help you come back from that sort of deep, dark hole. And I guess, you had mentioned that now you're up to running marathon distances, and you've since running that 15K where you started. I mean, you've come a long way. So, yeah, tell me a little bit more about how you've continued to run and why you're like chasing down bigger goals.
So I've now been running for on and off for about 4 or 5 years, but actually it was because of 2020, because of the whole pandemic situation, where all of our lives were turned upside down, where I actually had the opportunity and the time to start to devote more time to running. And I mean, it's not only a way for me to get a handle on my mental health, but also just to relax and de-stress. But I figured, you know what, this is the time. I have no commute to go to work. And I had actually been thinking about, so my next goal at the moment is to run my first 100-kilometre race this year in October, called the Ned Kelly Chase. It's also based in Australia. And the reason why I wanted to do that was because I started one of my friends, her mum was saying to me, oh, so I'm actually, my next race is like 120 kilometers or some distance like that. And at that time, this is 5-6 years ago, I'd never heard of a race like that. Like, how is it possible that someone can run continuously for that amount of time? Like, I just blew my mind. And from that point on, I started looking into ultra marathons. I was on the ultra sign up website, just looking at all the distances. And the bigger the distance, the more excited I got. And so because I had this goal in my mind for such a long time, I just thought, you know what, I've got to do it. So I literally put it on my Instagram. I made a whole account about it, and I shared it with everyone to say, hey guys, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to run this 100 kilometer race. I'm going to raise money for depression and mental health awareness, because obviously it's something that's really close to my heart. And the reason why I did that was because I need to be accountable for this goal. I wanted to tell everyone I was going to do this, and if I wasn't going to do it, people were going to ask questions. So that's why I did it, and you know, because of also it's such a good cause to run for. But not only that, this 100 kilometer goal isn't actually my main goal. My main goal, after reading Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, I don't know if you know David Goggins, but he doesn't call himself an ultra marathoner, and I understand his philosophy, but he talks about how we are so much more capable of than what we believe. We can do so much more than what we think we can do. And it's never about self-belief. It's literally just by going after those goals. So one of his races that he did was the Badwater 135-miler ultramarathon race in Death Valley. And that is the goal I actually want to chase. So that will be in 2023. So this is a secondary goal, and then it's the Badwater.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, you do not set small goals. That's probably one of the hardest ultra marathons out there. But that's awesome. And I think that you had mentioned, you know, that I feel like this probably ties into it. You had mentioned that you are going to start working on like training your brain not to give up so easily. And I feel like that ties in perfectly with sort of David Goggins' message, but then also pushing yourself for these like really amazing but incredibly hard goals. So tell me a little bit about the kind of the mental process that's going on, especially as you're trying to increase your mileage that high.
Yeah, I think it's a funny thing, because just by looking at David Goggins' story, the fact that he had never trained once, he'd never really been a runner in his life, the fact that he was able to do Badwater 135 miles, you know, with no training basically at all, kind of really spoke to me, because the reality is our mind is so full of negative chatter all the time. And we're always telling ourselves, oh, we can't do this. Oh, you know, my mum says I can't do this because of, you know, my upbringing or my appearance. Or my colleague says, you won't be a boss later in the future because, you know, you're too short or you're too shy or an introvert even. And the thing is, it's just mind chatter. It's just trying to protect you from actually, the problem is it's trying to protect you from dying, I guess, or any kind of hurt and pain. And so it does, it's kind of a little bit of a mechanism. And if you switch that off, if you try and turn off that mechanism, then actually you can do so much more than you think, because that protective mechanism is now switched off. So I think in terms of how I want to try and approach this mental training is literally by doing the things that make me feel most uncomfortable. So for instance, I did my first 50 kilometer race in December of last year, and I thought to myself, I actually didn't push myself enough, and my body was still, you know, trained up. And I thought, okay, you know what, I 1 week later, as my first recovery run, I'm going to do a marathon. And people were just like, no, you can't do that, you can't do that. And long story short, I didn't do it, but it was my bladder from my hydration pack had leaked, Powerade all over my shorts.
Oh.
And it was, I was running wet with sweet liquid down my legs for 7 kilometers. And then I decided to do another 21. So I didn't finish the marathon, but I did 28 kilometers and 21 of those was with wet legs of Powerade. But the that is, because I didn't do it, I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to try again. Because you can't just give up once, right? You can't just fail. So I went out next week. I woke up late, you know, 5 hours too late, not like what I planned. But then I ran the marathon. Oh, so wow. I ran a few weeks after my 50 kilometers, which people say you're not meant to do. You know, your recovery process is 6 months, is like 6 weeks long. But things, you just can't believe what people tell you. You can't believe what your mind tells you. And if you stop believing in that, then you can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also it's very true that like everybody's body recovers and adapts to training differently. So just because somebody else can't run a marathon, you know, a couple weeks after a 50K, it doesn't mean that your body isn't prepared to do that. Yeah. The mental part is huge. Yeah. And then, you know, you've mentioned that it helps you, running helps with your depression, you know, particularly when you're out running. But then are you also finding that it helps with your depression in other times, you know, maybe the mental strategies or just the way that you think when you run is helping, you know, with your mental mindset elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, the whole running process, you know, taking one step forward at a time and the sport of it. That's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is the benefits that come out of it. And it's almost like running is a bit of like a metaphor for life, right? It's such a simple act, but when you're running and you're starting to run longer and longer distances, and obviously everyone's different. So the further you run, the more challenging it is, right? But for instance, in a marathon, you come across many obstacles. You know, you might get an ingestion issue or something, or you might, you know, fall and trip over. And so these are like obstacles. These are almost akin to obstacles in your life. And the thing is, when I'm running, if I come through an obstacle like that, you kind of just have to get up, dust yourself off, and just keep on going, keep on running, because I think that failure in running and failure in life and stopping and not keeping on trying isn't actually a negative thing. It's actually an opportunity to learn. But the more you fail and the more you get up and try again, is that will help you develop your resilience in life, and that will help you take on hard things like, you know, trying to get a promotion at work or trying to work through a relationship issue or trying to start your own business. So the more running helps me develop my resilience and helps me feel that I actually don't need to believe in myself. I don't need to think about any of that as long as I just keep on trying. If I fall, I get up and keep going. So that's kind of how it has helped me with my life.
Yeah, I love that. And I think this is something that just made me think of, and I believe David Goggins talks about this in his book, but it's something that I've always thought about as I'm running is like, too many of us just try to pursue comfort, you know, in life. And that's not what it's all about. You know, it's good to be uncomfortable. It's good to work through that discomfort every now and again, because you are going to become, you know, stronger on the other side of that. So, I try to keep that in mind when a run gets hard. I'm like, it's good to be uncomfortable right now. Like I'll get through this and I'll be better for it.
People kind of have a warped sense of how they think they'll become happy. People think that by drinking, partying, going out, watching Netflix day in, day out will get them happy. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, I do that all the time. I do all those things, but doing it long term actually doesn't make you happy. It just makes you sedentary. It can lead to things like depression. But actually, what does make you happy, and what there is research to back us up on, is getting out of your comfort zone regularly, actually pushing yourself. Because, I mean, this is, I guess, not quite related, but one thing that depression kind of taught me was that, you know, your life is so short. You only have one life. And again, cliche, but your life is not a dress rehearsal for the next life. It's literally what you've got. So if you start to take yourself out of your comfort zone, then, you know, there are so many things that you can experience. And then that the life that you live actually has a lot more meaning than what it did, than like watching, I don't know, Bridgerton on Netflix or something.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree. Yeah. So I have to ask, you know, especially because you brought this up, the races that you did this year. So like the marathons and the 50K and all of the running that you did this year. I'm not sure how things are operating in Australia right now. Did you do all of those races on your own, or were some of them actual like real races?
So initially they were all on my own. So my first marathon and my second marathon were self-supported. Mm-hmm. But one was meant to be obviously an official race, but it never happened, of course, in Sydney. And then my 50K, I was really lucky because for the longest time, I was going to do an interstate race, but because the borders were shut, I wasn't going to be able to. So I was fully intending on doing the 50K on my own. But then I was really lucky in the fact that our cases dropped significantly. We had zero cases for a while, and the borders opened again. And so I was able to do my first ultramarathon as a real race. And then, of course, the border shut again. So, yeah, it's been hit and miss. So I was lucky to do one race as an official race. Yeah.
Gotcha. But I feel like a 5K on your own is very different than a marathon on your own. So yeah, how was that experience, just going out and just doing that distance by yourself?
I don't know. It was kind of a bit anticlimactic, I'll be honest, because not a lot of my friends are runners, and I'm not a part of any running club. I have to admit, I'm a bit of an introvert, so I'm a massive homebody. I don't really need to talk to anybody. I could run on my own, and it's for mental health. So I don't necessarily need a running club or any kind of external stimulation. But anticlimactic in that way, but I also kind of shared updates on my social media accounts to let everyone know this is what I was doing. So I had a bit of, you know, support from the online running communities, but also my family and friends. And that was kind of good to get that kind of build up. But running the route itself, again, yes, super boring. I run that route many times before, so it was not that much different from what I was doing. But it was really funny because so I think the last three kilometers, I basically bonked. I just could not run anymore. And so I was like, there's this quote by Dean Karnazes, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. So I was just walking as fast as I could. And it was super painful. And then I finished my last kilometer and I sprinted that last kilometer. And that was the end of it. There was no balloons, no free banana, no cheering. It was just me. I was kind of keeled over on a bench, on a park bench. And this woman walks up to me. She goes, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah. I just ran a marathon." But I don't think she understood what a marathon was, because she just looked at me a bit like, "Oh, this girl's a bit weird. Like, gotta go." So she kind of left, and that was that. That was the end of my marathon.
Oh my gosh. That is actually amazing. I love that. And it's just funny comparing that, like you said, to the end of a traditional marathon with all of the fanfare. But, you know, at least that lady checked on you. I guess that's nice. Because there are things that I struggle with too. And I have a feeling that a lot of runners struggle with the same things, you know. I've really thought about the fact that we do all of these training programs to build up our bodies to run, and there's not a mental component to that. And I'm like, most of us probably don't wake up with the sort of like strength of mind to go out and run 26 miles on our own just off the bat. So I feel like there's a certain amount of, you know, mental training that we should be doing, but that's that's just something that I've been thinking a lot about this past year because we haven't had races.
You know, on the note of mental training, it's kind of, I guess, not a trick, but it what has really helped me is listening to something. So initially, when I first started running, any kind of, you know, boppy pop music would really help me. But then I started listening to the same thing over and over again, so I getting boring. But when I did the marathon, that was 2 weeks after my 50k on my own, I decided to listen to these really long podcasts on ultra running, and these were hour long podcasts, so I ended up doing 4 or 5 of those. And I was so in tune with what the story was going on in the podcast, I completely did not even think about running. I didn't really feel that much pain. And then by the fourth podcast, it was over. So yeah. If that's a thing, that's how strong your mind can be. If you shut it down, you forget about it. If you forget about the thoughts and you're keeping going because you're listening to an audio like that, you can literally forget any pain that you're feeling. And you're probably not even feeling that much pain. It's literally like a light kind of, stress on your body that's just ongoing, and the fact that it's ongoing, that's what makes it annoying or painful for everyone.
Yeah. Right, and that's what makes your brain freak out and think that it needs to protect you from something when that's not the case. So yeah, no, I definitely understand that. So I want to go back to, we talked about the running goals that you have and that you're doing it in part to raise money for, you know, mental health, but I'd love to talk a little bit more about that goal. You know, are you hoping to raise a certain amount of money, and are you planning to donate it to one particular charity? Just tell me a little bit more about that aspect of your running.
Yeah. So the organization that I've chosen to raise money for is Beyond Blue. And so my intention was for every training race that I run, whether it was virtual, self-supported, or an official race, I was going to donate $100 of my own money for each race that I run. So I've now run 3. So I'll be donating at least $300 to Beyond Blue, and with the hope of at least donating $1,000 of my own money to that organization. But the way I want to, go about this is I want to raise as much awareness as possible through my Instagram or any social media accounts that I've got, like Run to Change Lives. And if I raise more awareness, then I can definitely raise more money for this organization. I've spoken to so many people who have reached out saying, I'm really inspired by your story because I have depression as well, and it gives them hope that doing something like as simple as running can actually alleviate or at least help some of the symptoms of their depression.
Yeah, it is, and I think especially coming out of 2020, I think that people will struggle with mental health more than maybe we ever have before. So, unfortunately the case being is that, you know, now is the time to really support those charities and try to like destigmatize it, bring a lot of awareness to it and get people the help that they need. So, that's awesome. That's awesome that you're putting your commitment behind it as well. It's not just asking everybody else to donate money, but that you are also putting in, putting your money where your mouth is and also doing the mileage.
Yeah. And you raise a really good point about depression. The fact that it's not something that people talk about because I think people feel embarrassed. Because I guess no one has ever really seen it as a legitimate disorder or because it's linked to their own, you know, mind. And it's not really something that you can kind of measure or physically see the symptoms of. And I think that if we talk about it more and through this running journey, I think it will make people feel more comfortable to talk about it openly and actually share this, because the more we push for a strong message like this and use running as a catapult to be able to help people with depression, then we can do so much for this illness.
It is, it's like very isolating, you know, it definitely feels like you're the only one experiencing the depression, and because other people aren't talking about it, that just further reinforces it. So hopefully too, helping people feel like they're not alone is a big step in making that change and helping people get the resources that they need. And even just to acknowledge like, oh, this is what I'm experiencing is depression, and there is a way to treat it. I don't have to feel stuck like this forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, this is always a question that I think people find hard, but maybe you won't. I always like to ask about advice, particularly because I think that there are a lot of people out there who want to start running or who have maybe tried running and it didn't stick, you know, for whatever reason. And so just, I always like to ask for advice for, you know, new or not even beginning runners, you know, what would you say to them in terms of how to get started and how to stick with it?
Yeah. I treat running like any of my other goals. You kind of have to break it all down into really small bite-sized chunks, because running is a big thing. If you've never done it before, it's a huge, vast expanse of all these things that you need to do. And people kind of just get a bit stressed because, oh, there's so much to think about, so where do I start? And so if you kind of, you literally start really, really small. I said to someone earlier, maybe just go out for a walk 5 minutes, and then do that for a week, and then the next week add another 5 minutes, and then the next week jog for 5 minutes, and then stop, and then do that for a week. So these are really small incremental changes, and if you do them in really small increments, then it's not so much of a big task for you. It's not so huge that you're going to be like, oh, I failed now, like I can't do it anymore, I'm going to stop. So if you do it in that way, that's good. I used to work in fashion, and I really enjoy buying cute activewear. It's just a really great motivator for me, because I think if I look good, then I think I can run a bit better, right? So I'm a massive fan of Nike, because I've just always worn Nike for some reason, and this top I'm wearing is Nike. I didn't do that on purpose.
I was going to say, you're very on brand.
My Nike sponsorship, like that's my goal at the moment. If I think I'm wearing really cute outfits, then I feel that I can actually go outside and run. And then what I also use is a thing called, so it's a habit tracking app on my phone, and it's called Streak. I think it's, and again, I'm not sponsored by these guys, but I think it's only costs like $2 or $3 a once off. And what you do is, so it comes up on your phone and you list all the different tasks that you want to do. So if you want to go for a run, and then if you want to do it every day, or if you want to do it 3 times a week. So every time you complete the task, you press the button, and it makes this kind of goal sound like ding, like as if like you've completed something. And actually psychologically, it actually helps people a lot to have this kind of, oh, there's a bit of success in my life, so I'm just going to keep going because it's a really good feeling. So each day you can use it to track. And then just being really specific about your goals. So by breaking it down, for instance, what I talked about was running 5 minutes and running, then running 10 minutes. But even having a goal race might be good. So your first 5K. So sign up for a virtual, if it has to be a virtual 5K or a virtual half marathon, and then, you know, look at what the training plan is and literally follow it to a T, unless you're injured, of course, in which, of course, you would rest consistently. And those would be my tips, I'd say.
Yeah, I think those are all really good tips. And I think that it highlights maybe why a lot of people don't stick with it in the beginning, because they're making mistakes in those ways. You know, a lot of people start by going out too hard or too fast, and like you said, they feel like they fail immediately because it was really hard. Whereas if you ramp up slowly, it's a lot easier. And then to your point too about building that habit, it's like, it's a whole process to form a habit. So if you have like a goal race, for example, you're going to have a built-in like schedule that keeps you honest. So you're building that habit as you're also preparing for that race. And all of those things worked for me too. So I I agree.
And one thing I do want to add, and I think it's probably the most important, because motivation wanes, right? Like, for instance, yesterday I had motivation to go up and exercise. But what does keep me going is my running why. Why do I run? And if people find a strong enough why, then they will keep going regardless. It doesn't matter how terrible their day is, or how cold it is outside, or hot, or what their spouse said to them, they will go out and run. And I guess my running why is very strong. It basically saved my life, you know. So I think if your why is that strong, then you can just keep running.
Yeah. That's I think the whole purpose here is to demonstrate that running literally can change your life. It can save your life. And so glad that you're here. So glad that you found something that works for you and that you're also using it as a platform to help other people. So that's also really powerful. It's not just about you anymore. It's about all of these other people.
Not at all. It's never been about me.
Yeah. Well, Allie, I really appreciate the time that you took to share your story, and especially considering the fact that it is a difficult story and it probably is kind of hard to talk about. But as you said, you know, the more that we get comfortable talking about the hard things, the more other people realize that they're not the only ones dealing with these things. So really, really appreciate your willingness to share that, and also really excited to see how you do with your 100K and then Badwater. That's just amazing.
I'm still working on the action plan for that, because I have one for my 100K race, so all the different 9 races. But yeah, Badwater, I'm definitely working on. So the first requirement they have is you need to run three 100-mile races, and then they to enter as an application, and then they have a preference to some races. So there's a few in Australia, but a lot of them are based in the UK and in the US. So it's a little bit difficult, but there's a few races in Australia that I can definitely do at this stage.
I was going to ask if you were planning on traveling, you know, to the US to do some races before Badwater. Because that is not an easy journey to get here from Australia.
Yeah. It's like almost a 24-hour flight? I'm not sure. I was in New York many, many years ago, studying, and it is a long way to travel, but yes, I do plan on, doing some races in the US. There are actually so many, and you guys are so lucky in that respect to have those many trail races. So I'd love to be able to do one.
I was going to say, I think you've got some really interesting terrain there that you can train on to get you ready. Australia is not known for being the most hospitable climate.
We've got kangaroos to battle with. I think they're cute, but actually they're quite violent. So you got to watch.
Yeah, if you go pretty much anywhere kind of mountainous, you're opening up the potential to, and all sort of the big trail races are in the mountains. So, but yeah, you're running into potential bear sightings and moose and elk and mountain lions and all the good things. No kangaroos though.
Okay, I'll have to mentally prepare for those as well.
Yeah. Is there anything else, you know, about running or your journey that you wanted to share that I haven't asked you about?
I think one of my, I guess, aspirations is to be able to share, you know, the lessons that I've learned along the way from my running journey and, you know, other various parts of my life. And I guess there's two things that I want to share is one was what I talked about before. You know, you only have one life. You really need to live it to the maximum. I, being in the position that I was, where I was about to take my own life, that I was going to volunteer a whole life and waste it, and not, you know, not do any of the big things that I want to do now. It really makes me realize that how precious your life is. Like, that it can be not only voluntarily taken away from you, but it can be taken away from you without any of your control. So you need to be able to live it. And the second thing is that you just need to keep trying. So if you want to, if you really want something, and it really speaks to you as part of your life, then you can't fail, because as long as you keep trying, you fall and you get up again and again and again, you will eventually succeed. And that is the message that I want to share. And I think that's how it's come about with running for me, because I remember even at the start of last year, so this was maybe 11 or 12 months before my 50-kilometer race, my fitness had gone down the drain. I couldn't even run the 6-kilometer route that I was running. I would run it and then I'd get to this hill and I would just walk up it. It got so tough. And then on like the 30th or 40th attempt, I finally ran up that hill. And because I stopped giving up, I just kept trying, I eventually got up then. And I think that's kind of one of the lessons of running for life. And then I guess my third thing is, so my social media is, its handle for Instagram is Ali_runs_n_ultra. So Ali_runs_n_ultra. And that's where I kind of share my story and it, where I want to raise more awareness for depression and running. So that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. This is great.
Giving me the opportunity. This is my first time sharing my story in this kind of forum, so I really appreciate it.